If you have a copy of the Word of God with you tonight, can I ask you please to turn with me to the Old Testament, to the fifth book of the Old Testament, and to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, and the chapter 30, please. The 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to commence a reading at the verse number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and the verse number 8. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of the chapter, looking to the Lord again for his help, as we have read his word together. Deuteronomy chapter 30, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and it is the verse 19. We want, by the help of God, to take as our text for this evening. Verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. With the word of God opened before us, can we seek his help once again in the word of prayer, asking for his help, and for the help of God, the Holy Spirit, tonight, as we come to the gospel for this evening, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that already in our singing we've been brought to that place called Calvary. And, O God, we pray that tonight you'll bring sinners to that place as well. Lord, we pray that tonight their burden of sin will be rolled away. As the gospel message goes forth, we pray, Lord, you'll help this preacher. Lord, we pray that you'll use us. Lord, you know the weakness of the flesh. and just how unable we are to present the gospel as we ought. Lord, we cannot do this in our own strength. Therefore, O Lord, we claim the promise of God, the Holy Spirit, tonight. Lord, infill us. O Lord, we pray that you'll use us tonight. Give us help as we would seek to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ tonight. And we pray, O Lord, that thy word will take a dealing with hearts tonight. Lord, that sinners will be moved. Sinners will come under conviction of sin. But more than that, tonight they'll be converted and brought through to new life in Jesus Christ. Do this, we pray. And give us help, give us attention, Lord, we pray, to thy word. Take away all the thoughts that would distract. Bind the devil tonight. May have no inroads into our thoughts, into our minds. Lord, thinking of tomorrow, thinking perhaps of later on this evening. Oh God, we pray that you'll take us up with thyself. Bring every thought into captivity tonight. Lord, help us to be taken up with Christ. For we pray it in thy name and for thy sake alone. Amen. Amen. During World War II, the then British Prime Minister Winston Churchill was forced to make a very painful choice and decision. The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code, and they had found out that the Germans were going to bomb the city of Coventry in England. And Churchill was faced with a choice, with a decision. He had two alternatives. Should he evacuate the citizens of that city and seek to save as many lives as he could? However, that would be at the expense of alerting the Germans that their code had been broken. And perhaps that code could no longer be used. His other option was to take no action at all. That would possibly have saved lives as well. But more importantly, it would have kept the information flowing and saved many more lives. Churchill was faced with a choice. He had a decision to make. And he did choose. He followed the second course. He took no action. And that allowed the information to keep flowing through to the services in the British Army. This was, of course, just one of many choices that the Prime Minister at that time had to make during the course of the war. And you know, so it is with each one of us today. During the course of our lives, we all have choices, we all have decisions to make. Now, I don't think they'll be as important as the one that Churchill had to face or had to make. But choices had to be made, and decisions have to be made nonetheless. I heard the amusing story of a husband and wife. And just prior to their marriage, they decided that the husband, he would make all the major decisions, and the wife, well, she would make all the minor decisions. And after 20 years of marriage, the husband was then asked, well, how's that arrangement going? The husband replied, said, it's going great. Because in this past 20 years, I've never had to make a decision. But we all are faced with decisions. As parents, we seek to decide what is best for our children. To seek to give them the best possible start in life. And then as they grow older, they begin to make their own decisions. Which subjects they'll take for GCSE, which subjects they'll go on to study for perhaps for A-level, which career path they'll endeavour to embark upon, even down to the very mundane things of life as to what to eat, what to wear. Decisions are made every day. Some are major, some are just not as important. However, tonight, every man, woman, every young person, every boy, girl will make another decision, another choice. I'm not talking tonight about a choice concerning your education. I'm not talking tonight about a choice concerning your family, your finances, or your future. This is a choice of far greater significance, because this is a choice with far greater implications. I'm talking tonight about the choice that's offered to you in the gospel. The choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, or the choice to reject Him. And it is this very choice that Moses is presenting before the people here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and the verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. The people were presented with a choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing, between the way of God and the way of the world. Just as Moses presented this choice to the people of his day, so this choice is presented to you tonight in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church. It makes no difference who or what you are. It makes no difference what class of society you think you belong to or don't belong to. It makes no difference what position you hold in society, whether you hold any position at all. This is a choice you will all make. Either to receive Jesus Christ or to reject Him. Therefore, as we come to verse 19, I want us to consider what I've entitled very simply, the choice of the gospel. The choice of the gospel. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the character of it. And we want to notice some things about this choice as we have it presented here in verse 19. I want you to see that it's a definite choice. You see, this is something that you cannot be neutral on. Folks, tonight in this congregation, this is something that you cannot sit on the fence, because you'll either decide one way or you'll decide the other. You will definitely choose, no matter what your choice may be. You see, tonight you can decide to have no political opinion. Tonight you can decide to take no side in a dispute in a given situation. You can even feel that you have no religious opinion, because after all, religion doesn't save you. But the gospel is not about a religion. The gospel is not about a system of works, because the gospel is all about Christ. He came into this world to perfectly obey the law which we had broken. He died on the cross of Calvary to perfectly meet the penalty of that broken law, which was death. He died to save you from sin. His blood was shed to wash you whiter than the snow. Therefore, this choice tonight is a definite choice, because it's about Christ. When you choose concerning the gospel, you're ultimately choosing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot be neutral. It's a definite choice, but it's also a defining choice. Because make no mistake about it tonight, the decision that you make will define your life, but more importantly, it will define your eternal destiny. The choice to accept Jesus Christ, to accept life, that's what's offered in the gospel. Pardon from sin, peace with God, and eternal life forevermore. Yet look at the warning there is in verse 18. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. That is, if you decide to reject Jesus Christ. You see, folks, this is no trivial matter. This is no unimportant decision tonight that you will make. Because what you decide to do with Jesus Christ will ultimately decide your eternal destiny, whether it be for heaven or for hell. You know, folks, tonight I don't care what you think of this preacher. It doesn't matter. doesn't matter what you think of this church. It doesn't matter what you think of the stand of this church. Because being a Free Presbyterian will never save you. My friend, it's what you think of Christ tonight that's all important. That'll decide your eternal destiny. Make no dispute about it. Does he mean anything to you tonight? Does the lovely Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who died on Calvary's cross to bear away your sin, does he mean anything to you tonight? Or is Jesus Christ just a word you use in all everyday language? Is the cross at Calvary just a piece of history? Oh, my friend, tonight, I trust that tonight, Jesus Christ will be made real to you. John Newton wrote that great hymn, and the words of it are so true. What think ye of Christ is the test? To try both your state and your scheme, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. What think ye of Christ tonight? The crowd in Pilate's judgment hall, they were faced with a decision concerning Christ. Would they reject him? Or would they receive him? Would they crucify him or would they crown him? They decided. But they decided to crucify him. They rejected him. And tonight the same decision faces you tonight. And be sure that what you will decide will determine your destiny. Because on this decision will depend your eternal destiny for heaven or for hell. You see, tonight, what you do with Christ in life will determine what he does with you in death. You reject him tonight. You leave this meeting rejecting Jesus Christ. And you continue on in your sin and continue on rejecting Christ. In death, he will reject you also. But you receive him tonight. You turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and he'll receive you also in death. Therefore, tonight, choose well and choose Christ. It's also a demanding choice because you see, this decision demands an immediate response. Look at verse 19 with me. I call heaven and earth to record this day. This day. That little phrase, this day, it's repeated 6 times in the entire chapter. You see, tonight there's an urgency about the decision. This is a demanding choice because of the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death. Well, maybe you think you can put off this decision. You can accept Jesus Christ at another time. You can continue on in your sin. You can live as you've lived for your entire life. And then sometime when you feel, you'll get right with Jesus Christ. You'll think you'll have another opportunity. You think tonight in this meeting you'll have another time to sit in this church and to hear the gospel message brought before you. Listen, you'll get saved in God's time, and God's time is now. Salvation in Scripture, it's always placed in the present, it's always placed in the here and now, because that's the only guarantee we have. Oh, we've our plans made for this week. We know where we're going to go this week. We've plans as to what we're going to do this week, but who knows whether we'll see this week out. Therefore, tonight you need to be saved, and you need to be saved now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may never come. You've sat in this church perhaps for years. And you've heard your need to be saved for years. And God has been good. God has been gracious to you. And yet God could come tonight and take breath from your body, and then where would you be? Young person, you think you've all your life ahead of you, and I pray in God's name you do. But how do you know? David said it so well, the psalmist. He said, there is but a step. There is but a step between me and death. Sinner, you were to take that step tonight, you'd be lost. Lost forevermore. Therefore, tonight, choose Christ and do it now. The story is told of a lady who came to a meeting that was held by a man by the name of Timothy East, who was one of Spurgeon's students. And Mr. East was preaching his heart and soul out one particular night and urging his people to be saved and to get right with God and to do it now. And on his way out of the meeting, a lady stayed behind to speak to him. And she said to Mr. East, she says, you know what you've been saying, I agree with 100%. I know I need to get saved, but I just don't think I need to get saved now. Mr. East pleaded with the lady and urged her to come to Jesus Christ and to do it now. But she said no. That was a Sabbath evening. The next day, Timothy East was walking down the street. And he heard an awful commotion behind him, and he thought he heard his name being called out. And he turned and he saw this young girl running up to him and saying, Mr. East, come quick. My mother's dying and she needs you. He didn't recognize the young lady. He didn't know who she was. Mr. East turned in his steps and followed the young lady into her home. The young girl took him up the stairs and into the room where her mother was lying, dying. And as Mr. East made his way into the room that day, he saw lying on that bed that same lady who had spoken to the night before, who knew that she needed to get saved, but didn't want to do it then. And as she clasped her eyes on the young minister coming in through the door, she cried out in what strength she had. She says, too late. Too late. Within a few moments, that lady was dead. She knew she needed to be saved. She knew she needed to get right with God. But she thought she would have another opportunity. But it never came. Oh, tonight, you make this choice and you make it well and you make it now. It's also a documented choice. Look at verse 19 again. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth there is not just a mere reference to the places, but more to the inhabitants, to the rulers, to the elders on earth, and to the angels, and more especially to Almighty God in heaven. And the choice you make tonight will be recorded. Or maybe you think tonight you've made a choice and people around you think you've made a choice for Jesus Christ, and you know deep down you haven't. God Almighty knows and sees your heart. And I wonder what tonight the record will be of the choice in heaven that you've made. And on that great day of judgment, when the books are opened and your choice will be read out, will be recorded against your name. As you sit here in this church, what will God's record of your choice be? It's also a distinct choice. Verse 19 again, I record heaven and earth this day to record against you. See, this choice concerns a distinct person, you. Not the person beside you. Not the person in front of you. You. Young person, this is a choice that you must make yourself. Don't be depending on your parents' salvation. Don't be thinking that you'll get into heaven on the coattails of your parents' salvation. It'll never happen. You must be saved. You must be saved yourself. Salvation's an individual matter. Therefore, you must choose yourself. Don't allow others around you to put you off. Don't allow them to put you off coming to Jesus Christ. Character of the choice, but also I want you to see the cost of this choice. Because you see, tonight you accept Jesus Christ, you turn from your sin, receive Christ alone, you'll receive blessing, you'll receive life everlasting. However you reject Him, it'll be the costliest decision you ever make. Some decisions we make in life have proved to be costly to us financially. They've proved to be costly to us emotionally. But you make the wrong choice tonight concerning Jesus Christ, and it'll cost you eternally. Because you'll forfeit heaven. You reject Him tonight. It'll cost you dearly because you will forfeit your home in heaven. You'll never be there. Look at verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. What was that land? It was the promised land, the land of Canaan. But not all of the children of Israel entered. Some fell by the wayside. Some left off, some rejected. Of course, the promised land is a type of heaven, a foreshadowing of heaven. And Christ said to His disciples over in John 14, in My Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. There's the promise of heaven, but there's a condition upon entering heaven. Because on down in that chapter, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to go to heaven? Of course you do. But then you must come by the way of Jesus Christ. You reject Him tonight. You reject the only way to heaven. You reject Jesus Christ. Then you'll forfeit heaven. Because you'll never get to heaven except through Christ. The cost of rejection is high. Can I urge you tonight to stop counting the cost of being a Christian? Because there's no cost in being a Christian. But tonight, count the cost of not being a Christian. Count the cost of not turning from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ. Because that cost is high. Stop thinking that you'll make it just somehow. That somehow you'll just scrape by. That somehow you can reject Jesus Christ all your life. And then when it comes to die, that the Lord will open heaven to you. It'll never happen. Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except you come by Jesus Christ tonight, you'll never be in heaven. You'll also forfeit hope. We live in a world that's longing, desiring for peace, for happiness. Longing for something to fill the emptiness in her heart. And so many turn to the things of this world to try to fill that void in their life. And all the day they've got no hope. There's no hope beyond the grave. All your attempts will be futile if you don't come by Jesus Christ. But tonight there is hope. There is the hope of the gospel tonight. Because you come to Jesus Christ just as you are. With all of your sin. It doesn't matter how often you've rejected Him. You come to Him just as you are. He'll receive you and He'll receive you gladly. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I don't care how you've lived your life. I don't care what you've done with the gospel up until this point. You might think you're too bad to be saved. You've made a mess of your life. You've wrecked your life with the drugs, with the drink, whatever. And you think Jesus Christ would never accept you, my friend, He will. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse the vilest sinner clean. If you will but come and reject Jesus Christ tonight, you'll reject hope and you'll reject heaven. Finally, as we close tonight, I want us to see the consequences of this choice. Because whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to face up to it or not, there are consequences. Whatever choice you make tonight, it will have consequences for you. Whether it be for the better or for the worse. As we've already said, it will determine your future. It will determine your eternal destiny. It will determine where you spend eternity. Oh, so many people today, they're concerned with what will happen to them tomorrow. Concerned with what will happen to them next week. Concerned with where their life will take them in 5 years' time. But they never think of life after death and where they'll be in death. Never think where they'll be in God's eternity. Living for the moment, but no thought of eternity. Living as if they're going to be here forever. Give no heed to where they'll be in God's eternity. Can I put this as simply and as plainly and as scripturally as I possibly can? You receive Jesus Christ tonight, you'll be in heaven. Not because of who or what you are, but because you'll come resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And He'll give to you eternal life and you'll never perish. But you reject Jesus Christ tonight. And you continue to reject Him. And it comes your time to die. will go out into God's lost eternity in hell forevermore. And no opportunity to get right with God then. No time then to make the decision or the choice for Jesus Christ, because it'll be too late. It'll determine your future. It will influence your family. Look at the end of verse 19. It says, therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now don't misunderstand me tonight. If you get saved, it doesn't mean that your entire family are saved. No, not at all. Because we've already said that salvation is an individual matter. You must personally come yourself. But if you come to Jesus Christ, it could have a tremendous influence on your family and those unsaved loved ones around you in your community. It'll affect your home, it'll affect your family life, affect your neighborhood. You could be the means of bringing others to Jesus Christ. Dr. John Getty went as a missionary to the New Hebrides, a group of islands just off the east coast of Australia. And there he spent 24 years amongst the people of those islands, seeking to win them to Christ. When he left in 1872, a memorial was erected in the church in which he preached every Sunday. And the memorial read this: in memory of John Getty. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. What an influence his life was. And what an influence for good your life could be in your community, in your home, in your family, if you but give it to Jesus Christ. You get saved tonight, your life will be transformed. It'll be turned around. You'll enjoy the blessing of God. You'll know peace tonight you never thought were possible. Oh, listen, God doesn't save you to make you miserable. God saves you to make you happy. To know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. What will you choose tonight? What will your choice be? You choose Christ? Would you choose life tonight? Or will you choose to reject Him? A young soldier by the name of Martius was chosen to fill the position of a centurion in the army, in the Roman army. However, another soldier came along and came up to the general and said that Martius was unfit for the position because he was supposed to be a Christian. When the young soldier was challenged about him, he said he readily confessed his faith. He said, "Yes, I am a Christian." The governor realized the serious implication that this would have, because at that time it would mean he'd be put to death. But the governor turned to the young soldier and he said, "I'll give you 3 hours to change your decision." So the young soldier went away to think about the decision that was facing him. A leader in the church heard of what was happening, came and rushed to this man by the name of Martius and took him aside. He took his sword and he took his Bible. And the old Christian said to the young soldier, "Now choose, my son, between these two, between the world and between God." Marius looked the old Christian in the eye and he said, "Without hesitation, I choose Christ." The man turned to him and said, "You've done well. You've done well. Hold fast by Him whom you've chosen, because soon you'll enjoy him forever. The young soldier went back to his governor and informed him of the decision that he had made. And he turned to his governor and he says, "I choose Christ." And a few hours later, that man was taken out and killed. He chose well. Cost him his life, yes, but he chose well because he chose Christ. Two ways stand before you tonight. Way of blessing, the way of cursing. The way of life, or the way of death. Which will you choose? Which will you choose tonight? God is recording your decision. What will it be? I urge you tonight, choose Christ. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Oh, tonight, let me encourage you to choose Jesus Christ. It'll be the best decision you'll ever have made. But reject him tonight. Reject Jesus Christ. And you could go out into God's lost eternity and be lost forevermore. What will your choice be? Let's bow in a word of prayer.